X8. Number 1B.
We started out this morning with the difference between metaphysics and science and looked at this proposition from the point of view of mind. Now let's go to spirit and perhaps take one or the other example from spirit. In spirit we learn, especially in the days of creation, in the second day of creation, that there must be a firmament which separates the waters above from the waters beneath, that separates between spirit and matter, that we must have the discernment, what is right, what is wrong, what is our ideas, what are illusions. Very necessary quality of discernment and separation. Is that metaphysics or is that science? Oh, comes right back, huh? It's metaphysics. Why is it metaphysics, if I may ask? Yes, exactly. It's dealing with the dualistic sense that there are two things, spirit and matter, and that we have to find the distinction between them. Very important question. You see, it all starts really with mind, that mind has ideas, and therefore we are asked to distinguish when do we deal with ideas, what are ideas, what are illusions? How can we distinguish between ideas and illusions so that we can really gear our thinking towards ideas? So that ability to be able to discern, to separate, to make distinction is a quality that we need very much in the metaphysical realm. How would you see what happens in science in regard to this very question? Spirit is the only, yeah? Does spirit distinguish between good and bad? Spirit would only know ideas, only, huh? Ideas, yes. So the accent is on only. It's a very important point that we always feel that with understanding we can distinguish and should distinguish between right and wrong. I mean, most of the Christian Science practice is based on that very basis that the practitioner should be able to see what is right and what is wrong, to distinguish between good and evil. In order to choose the good, we have to know first what is good and what is evil, or we may choose the wrong one. So little by little we get into the habit that this is Christian Science, but naturally it isn't. It is only metaphysics. And in science we take on a much purer standpoint, namely if we look out from spirit, then spirit can no more distinguish between good and evil. Spirit only knows itself, therefore only dwells in its own realm, knows only its own nature, the nature of spirit. Therefore, from the point of view of spirit and the signs of spirit, we would only be aware of spirit and spirit's own ideas. But that is the only realm and reality of which spirit is conscious of. Can you feel the relief we get in spirit? I know that it is a terrific burden as long as we are staying on the metaphysical basis, on the argumentation basis in practice, that we constantly have to argue for truth and argue against error, and practice in most cases carried on that very method. to affirm truth and to deny error. It's constantly looking at both sides, making one side real and seeing the unreality of the other side. Naturally, if one does that, it's very burdensome. It's a constant struggle, it's a constant fight. One is constantly fighting the belief of error, the belief in evil, the belief in matter, and uses up all one's energy for fighting against that which is anyway not real. Whereas in science, we relieve ourselves of that fight and are in the onlyness of spirit and think along the onlyness of spirit, where spirit is only aware of its own nature. Yeah. Therefore, that whole question of good and evil just falls flat. Just falls flat. There is no more a question of good and evil. We have a saying in German which comes from one of the great thinkers, which says that that we are, how should I translate it? It is jenseits, it is beyond the question of good and evil. Ideas, see, ideas, spiritual ideas are beyond jenseits, yes? Yeah, beyond the question of good and evil. That whole burdensome question of constantly saying, do I right, do I wrong? What is right? What is wrong? Do I do good or do I do evil? Falls flat the moment you are in that one spirit where we see I'm spirit idea, and that spirit idea only knows its own reality, its own realm of spiritual ideas, and that is beyond the question of good and evil. We don't not even ask, is now this good or is that evil, or this is good and no more evil. We don't ask that anymore. Just as if in mathematics you never ask, is 2 and 2 equal 4 good? You don't ask that. It's a fact and that's that. Yes. Now you can see how different this is also in Christian Science practice. Because Mrs. Eddy teaches in miscellaneous writings that every belief is a counterfeit of a spiritual idea, and therefore, by reversal, we arrive always at the right idea. Therefore, if we take the counterfeit, something that happens in as a material belief, by reversal, we arrive at the spiritual idea. Is that science or is that metaphysics? Metaphysics. Oh, that is clear, huh? Why is it only metaphysics? Now, you know that, huh? You know that the patient comes and says, this and this is ailing me. And he depicts the problem, the negative problem, the belief under which he suffers. What does a metaphysician? He tries to go out from that belief and find the idea about which this belief is a lie. That's the teaching in miscellaneous writings. And this is metaphysics. We have to be aware that this is metaphysics and not science. Because every time we go out from a material belief, from an ailment, we go out from error, and every reasoning from error to the idea is only metaphysical. It's not really a dependable method. It is actually a psychological method. And that's what you see coming into Christian Science treatment more and more when you look into the general way of treatment, that it's has become much more psychology than spiritual science and spiritual healing. That the practitioner guesses from the belief what may be the ruling idea about which this belief is a counterfeit. But it's guessing. It's guessing. What would be the science of it? What would be the signs of it? The patient comes to you with a definite claim and belief, and what would be now the signs of it? How to deal with such a belief?
Would you come to a specific phenomenon's turn?
Yes. How do you arrive at the specific synonymous term?
Well,
they tell
you. You go out
to the
synonymous term then, and state what the synonymous term is.
And what would be the synonymous term? How would you arrive at the synonymous term? I'm not quite sure.
It's the negative that you're hearing from the patient.
Ah, you see. You will go out from the negative, what you hear from the patient, and find out the synonymous term. Is this science or metaphysics? It's still metaphysics, huh? Yeah, you're still considering the negative as indicating what would be, not the idea, but the synonym. It's just the same. Huh? Yeah, the science is different. Huh? What would be the science of it?
There,
you wouldn't consider the belief. What would you consider?
Now,
how would you consider reality?
From the one being.
And if you, yes, beg your principle itself, yes. Which synonymous term would take care of this very point?
Mind.
Why mind? Mind reveals. Mind knows. Mind. Mind reading. Divine mind reading. You jolly well can't do anything else but to see, well, here is a situation, it's all wrong, or apparently it seems to be wrong. You don't even know if it's wrong. Perhaps it's right. It's only the patient that says it's wrong. And that, again, is no authority. What the patient tells us is anyway wrong, because if he would know the truth, he would not be sick. So all he tells is anyway a lie. Yeah, can you see that?
Max, can I just ask a question for a clarification? But technically, aren't you going out from principle itself? Because principle at that point would include all those synonymous terms, and divine mind reading would be included?
You could do that. You could say, all right, I go out from the divine principle, and now the question comes. You see, the question we have asked, how can we know the idea about which the belief is a counterfeit? So we go a step further. We have to know what is the idea about which this belief is a counterfeit. So you have to go from principle to mind, because mind knows. The only thing that can tell us anything is mind, not principle, so to say.
But then you would use all seven.
No.
Mind, and then you would use all seven.
No, not to start with. You see, to start with, I first have to have the revelation what the idea is. And then if that idea is an idea that is a counterfeit of life, then you can go to life. If it reveals to you that it is a counterfeit of spirit, you go to spirit. But the power of revealing itself is the divine mind reading. Yeah? So you turn really to the divine mind, and let the divine mind read the situation. That's why we had in mind divine mind reading versus mortal mind reading.
The,
yes?
The divine mind reading, revealing the situation, reveal the affirmative.
Yes?
The specific idea without revealing the negative belief.
Yes? Yes? You see, somebody had asked that question a few days ago already. We can repeat it again. This seems to be a bit a tricky question. The divine mind only knows itself. Mind, from the standpoint of science, cannot know anything but its own ideas. Just nothing but its ideas. Mind does not know any belief. That's in the realm of science. So, if you go to the divine mind and become quiet within yourself, I just feel I don't listen anymore to the arguments, neither the arguments of the patient, nor the arguments of the doctor, nor the arguments of my psychological reasoning, nor on the arguments of diagnosis. I just don't listen anymore to any suggestion, to any argument of the human mind. And I begin to cut that out, and so my thought is clear and free to go out from mind. Say, mind is the only thing that knows anything about that whole situation. And what mind knows is an idea, the infinite ideas of mind. And you just stay with that divine mind that knows everything, that can reveal everything, that perceives everything, that comprehends everything, that can see through everything, that for that divine mind nothing is hidden, nothing is veiled. Can you see? You fill your thought with the with the attitude of the divine mind knowing everything. And you stay with that. Perhaps you have to stay with it 2 days, perhaps you have to stay with it 5 days, perhaps you have to stay with it 2 years. Mrs. Eddy, you sometimes had to stay with it for 25 years until she acted. Like with the monitor and so on. She had the concept of having a monitor about 25 years early until it came. Now is the time, now we go. So, but because we know only what divine mind reveals is anyway true. That's why you also felt it has to do with truth, huh? Because that's what mind knows. Mind alone knows the truth. We can't know the truth. The human mind cannot know the truth about the situation. Just not possible. Or we would believe in psychology. Then we go better to a psychologist and to a psychotherapist, and he will put you on a couch, and then you can tell your dreams and your thoughts, and after 5 years you will be cured and have paid about $20,000. So that's the situation. Let the divine mind read the situation. Let the divine mind reveal what has to be revealed. And just stay in that listening attitude where you just see there is only one realm going on, mind knowing everything. It's a terrific, experience of patience also, but of trust, not to be irritated when the answer doesn't come at once. The answer may not come at once, may not have to come at once, because that divine mind has a terrific big plan in view and operates with a terrific big plan, and perhaps first may order and sort out things in your life and in the circumstances until it has a chance to symbolize itself so that we can understand the right idea. So don't get in any way impatient about it, uncertain about it. Stay with the certainty that the only mind that can reveal the truth to you is the divine mind. There is nothing else that can tell us the truth. Our memory can't tell us, our experience can't tell us, earlier experience, similar experiences can't tell us, nothing can tell us but the divine mind. So you go to the divine mind and stay with the divine mind, but stay with the divine mind seeing that divine mind knows infinitely all, that the divine mind, nothing is hidden, that the divine mind just shines through everything, that the divine mind focuses the light on the right idea, that the divine mind is that intelligence which can know, that the divine mind does comprehend what is at stake, does apprehend the situation. And you fill your thought with that terrific sense that there is a divine mind alone that knows the truth. Small t. Truth, small t. And you stay with that, and then that divine mind, because it's mind thinking about itself or knowing itself, begins to, the divine mind is its own interpreter, begins to interpret itself. How? People then usually ask, how? I don't know. That's the divine mind that does it. This is just the fact that mind does it. That's what has been revealed, that it is divine mind that somehow does reveal. We can just sit and listen and listen, and The quieter we become within ourselves, the more our human mind gets into a state of peace and rest and certainty and assurance and security, the better the divine mind can reflect the right idea in our mind, small m, and begins to talk to us. How? Not always with the writing on the wall. That divine mind has infinite ways and means to symbolize itself so that it is adequate to our understanding. Because that divine mind is love. So it symbolizes itself in such a way that we can understand it. Can you see why divine mind is love? I said divine mind is love. Perhaps you haven't quite seen that combination. You see, because love is that nature in being which can take care of all the situations, whatever it is. That love that can translate itself and bend itself and adapt itself and adapt itself to every situation so that it wants to manifest itself. So that love is that in nature which is never without its objectification. So because mind is love, mind wants, that's the love of it, wants to show us the right answer. It isn't a question if the divine mind is willing or not willing, if the divine mind will be, come down from its high throne and be, meek enough and say, all right, my dear petitioner, I will come down to you and this time I will tell you. No, the divine mind is eager. Love is eager to tell what is true. Wants to save us. Therefore, that divine mind, if we stay with that divine mind, it will find its ways and means of how to interpret itself. It uses situations. It uses words, it uses dreams, it uses a natural symbol, it uses artistic symbol, it uses everything you can think of. Everything can be used in divine mind for making itself known to us. We don't have to think, well, the divine mind will speak to me and I will hear it with my ear. That's one out of the million possibilities. It's not the only channel. The mind, in your list of ideas you have, that mind has to do with the association of thought. Well, that's one of the means that usually mind uses its channel to show us the right idea. It uses the association of thought, the association of symbols. Suddenly, you walk around down the street and you pass by somebody else and just overhear that somebody else says to somebody else something, and that is exactly that what you have to know. He doesn't know it. It makes click. You run against something in nature and you contemplate something in nature and suddenly it makes an association of thought. And you say, oh, see, something in you, when it stays with the divine mind, is then receptive. That's why spirit follows mind. It's then receptive for every kind of interpretation. Yeah? That's the association of thought. Jung would call it the synchronicity of thought, that things happen in a synchronistic, synchronized things that have nothing in common with each other, that have no relation with each other. That's the principle of synchronicity which he has shown, but which fundamentally, if we go further down on deeper levels, we see, yes, they have something to do with each other, namely with the divine mind that can use any symbol, any happening, any channel, to tell us what divine mind wants to tell us. And it translates itself into such levels, into such symbols that we can understand at that present level where we are. Therefore, we don't have to be on a very high level in order to be able to hear mind speak. It speaks right down through all the level, right down to the human, to the material, and can use the material, and can use evil, can use everything, can use, just as the ravens were feeding Elijah, huh? So evil can be used by the divine mind to tell us what we need to know. If within us is that divine mind reading, kept awake. So mind always tells us the idea. Yeah? Well, I'm now just talking about divine mind reading, how divine mind reading really can use any symbol and any circumstance to express itself and to make itself known, to manifest itself as idea.
I meant when you started out, the question came up, would you go to that particular level?
No, we at this moment I just talk about the synonymous term because we have not said anything yet about the levels, huh, and structuring the ideas. We take it in a very general way at the moment, huh, which is quite sufficient in practical cases to see what is at stake. Can you see the very different attitudes and to think how to arrive from a material belief to the idea, and guessing, psychologically guessing, what may be the idea. Drop that, leave that to the psychologists. They know it much better. They are trained much better than we are.